with you all as we gather together to praise God, of course, put Him first, but we come together also for one another to help each other continue to fight that good fight. As each day, each week comes around, we continue to strive to put God first. Therefore, we need that booster at the beginning of each week to come together and to help each other continue to push forward. As we continue in this world, many continue to alter the Word of God. They continue to change His Word to their interest, as we kind of talked about this morning when we talked about our heart, when we talked about our mind and our desires. And many get caught up in wanting to find someone who is willing to teach something that they want to do, so they don't have to change, but they also want the benefits and the ease at mind that they're okay, that they're okay in the sight of God, that they are going down the right path still, and that they seek out teachers, as we're told there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that they will have itching ears, and they'll seek out teachers who will teach what they want to hear. And the thing is many believe that the Bible does need to be updated. And I told Ron the title, and I know where his mind went, as we go back and forth in Bible class sometimes with David in his King James Version. But that's not what I'm talking about this evening as we go throughout the lesson. I'm not talking about the different translations. The translations are there so that we can have a better understanding as time has gone by and people have grown to understand the old Hebrew and Greek text, and so they come out with these translations so that we can read it, since I don't know anyone in the congregation here that reads Hebrew and Greek. So we need those translations, and I'm not here to stand and say which translation is better or anything in that. I desire to have some material on that. I know some other preachers have done some good studies on that and finding some good points that have been brought out in these other translations. But I'm focused on people who are actually changing the Word of God. They're altering the actual commands that we find in the Bible and updating the Bible so that it okays certain sins. They're completely changing the words or taking certain things out and adding certain things to it. So the question comes out, does the Bible need update? Does the Bible need to change due to the time? Is one of the main reasons people will say the Bible needs updated. They'll go to the point of saying, well, that was written so many years ago in a different time frame, in a different culture, in a different, and so everything was so different back then, it needs to be updated. Because, the culture has changed, the times have changed, and people are more accepting. So therefore, to an extent, does the Bible need updated? But does God need updated? Does God need to change His views on certain things? So I want to go through the Bible and point a few things out this evening. The first point to bring out is that the Bible is perfect. Therefore, it does not need updated because it is perfect. It does not need anything added to it. We should not take anything out of it. God has given us what we need in order to have our sins forgiven, in order to get to heaven. James chapter 1 and verse 25, if you open your Bibles and follow along. James 1 and verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It says, and it calls the Word of God, it calls the law here, the perfect law of liberty. It is perfect. It is complete. If something is perfect, it does not mean be changed. There's no need to add to it. There's no need to take from it. It has all that we need in order to get to heaven. If you turn with me to Jude in verse 3. Jude in verse 3. Jude, and you read along with me there in verse 3. It says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. Here it's bringing out the point that it was once delivered for all. Once delivered for all. It does not need to be changed
again as people, as time goes by. It has been given as the apostles and the prophets were sent out, as Paul continued on his missionary trip, as Peter went out and taught, as the others went out and spoke and taught and established the churches. And once the word was out for everyone. And it was delivered once, just as there was only one Savior to come down and to die for us. The word was delivered once. Now we have it in front of us so that we can understand the Word of God, so that we can understand and see His commandments that He has blessed us with. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 3, it reads here, it says, "All His divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Again, it brings out that it has given us all things that pertain to life. It has everything that pertains to life. It has all been delivered for everybody at one point. It doesn't need to be re-delivered, re-established, rewrote, re-updated in any way. It's perfect. It has everything we need in it. Again, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3. Verse 16 and 17, where it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, that the man of God may be perfect, as it is written in the King James translation there. And it says that we can become perfect when we obey the gospel. That moment in which we study the Word of God and we come to the conclusion and we repent of our sins, we confess our faith, and we are baptized into Christ. That person who is raised up, if their faith is sincere, their faith is true, then they have washed away their sins. For that moment, they are made perfect. They are made complete. They are a joint heir in Christ of that home in heaven. You understand? And if the Word of God has what we need in order to get to that point, why would it need updating? Why would it need to be changed if it has everything we need in order to teach, in order to correct others, in order to instruct the truth, in order for the man of God to be completely, fully equipped for every good work? It has everything we need. The Bible is complete. Some of the things that people think that need change when we talk about sin, what is and what is not sin. The thing is, sin hasn't changed. Sin hasn't changed, and I had to figure out what way I wanted to go about this, and I'm just going to talk about it this evening, because we could spend the whole night and much more time and just going to passage from the Old Testament to the New Testament and talking about today and whether or not these things have changed. But when we consider murder from the beginning, even talking about when Cain raised and slew his brother, that was murder, and it was wrong. And he was punished. And you can study throughout the remaining of the Bible. And we continue today on the main point that murder is wrong. Murder is sin. Murder should not be done. Nothing has changed. We talk about stealing, thievery, becoming a thief, someone who steals things from others, taking what is not yours. It is, once again, Old Testament it is wrong. New Testament is wrong. Today, in standards, it is wrong. To steal and take something that is not yours without paying a price, without coming to an agreement with the person to purchase. We go through and talk about sexual and moral acts. Going forth, whether it's homosexuality, whether it is adultery, whether it is fornication, sexual moralness is still wrong. We study, once again, we go throughout the Bible, throughout the Word of God, and see that it has been the same way throughout the entire Word of God. And God hasn't changed His mind on it at all. He hasn't changed His standards on sexual morality. We can turn to Leviticus, and we can turn throughout the Word of God, and we can study about homosexuality, we can study about adultery, we can study about fornication, that God designed from the beginning that a man and a woman should be married before any sexual relationship comes into being. why we have Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, where it tells us that marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. Adulterers and fornicators shall be judged. We need to understand. We need to realize that the Word of God has not changed. God's standards has not changed. Drunkenness has not changed. We turn the verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9, and 10, Revelation 21, verse 8, and Galatians, where it's talking about the works of the flesh in chapter 5, and see that these things have not changed. We can go and look at the example of Noah when he had got drunk, allowed the opportunity because he wasn't in the right mind. He allowed the opportunity for his son to do something. Now, the sin that the son had done was on him, but Noah would have had a better opportunity of stopping him. He wasn't drunk. Same thing with Lot when he was drunk and one of his daughters had done to him. And as you continue to study, drunkenness, still the same thing. It's not a different act. It's the same actions, and therefore God has not changed his mind on this action. It's still a sin. Lying is still a sin. We know that Ananias and Sapphira had lied to Peter, and Peter ended up saying, "You have lied to God." Revelation 21 and verse 8 tells us that all liars are listed with the murderers and thieves and adulterers and sexually immoral. They shall be cast out into the eternal lake of fire, which is the second death. Things have not changed. Sin has not changed. And therefore, the consequences of sin have not changed. You need to understand that. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, from the beginning of time, the consequences have always been death. And we talked a little bit about this in a previous lesson, as we talked about sin in a full lesson. But Genesis chapter 2, and you read starting in verse 16, it says, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good," as he goes into there, the starting in 16, 17, he brings out, he says, "You shall surely die." Of course, he was not lying in that point. There's a spiritual death that is committed when we commit sin. If we don't repent of it, that then there's the second death that we will face at the end. Once again, I believe the opportunity of eternal life upon this earth was extinguished. We all face death because the tree of life was also in the garden there with Adam and Eve. The Lord didn't take that tree out of the garden until they had ate of the tree of knowledge. Death all around was a consequence of sin. Whether we're talking about spiritual death, physical death, or we're talking about the eternal death in the end. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, just makes that point clear. It says the wages of sin is death. It has not changed. Revelation 21 and verse 8. When it goes forth and lists down the sins, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, all of them. Last part is that they shall be cast in the eternal lake of fire, which is the second death. These things have not changed. They don't need to change. This is God being a just God because He has warned us all. He has given us the Word. Therefore, we all have an equal opportunity to repent of these things. Another thing that has not changed, that does not need to change, is God's desire for obedience. God's expectation for us to obey, to be obedient in His name. 1 Samuel chapter 15 and 22. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And reading there in verse 22. So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Here Saul, of course, was told to go and utterly destroy the Amorites. And as he had come back, he had brought the king back, they had brought the sheep back. They didn't completely wipe him out. They did not utterly destroy him. And so when he confronted him, This was Saul's idea. Saul said, well, we thought we could make sacrifices. The answer was, does not the Lord delight better in obedience than sacrifice? In keeping his commands and doing as what he has told us to do. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Matthew chapter 7 and in verse 21, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. One who obeys, one who keeps and does the will of the Father. Again, the expectation that God has is still the same thing. Is that we be obedient. That we keep his commandments. It's what we've been studying as we've gone through the minor prophets right now. That he has pointed out that he desires them to be obedient. That though they continue to make these sacrifices, he desires that they be obedient. Keeping his commands, being faithful to him, and he will be faithful to them. In John 14 and verse 15, as Jesus brought out, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep the commandments. So many get focused on, well, we need to update it because God is so loving. God needs, and therefore he wouldn't do these other things, and therefore it needs to be changed. But Jesus says if we love him, we're going to be obedient. We're going to keep his commandments. The Word of God hasn't changed. The Word of God does not need to change. Revelation 2 and verse 10 talking about being faithful to the end. It tells us, behold, the devil shall cast him into prison that you may be tried and have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. And I will give you the crown. We remain faithful till the end. Endure the affliction, endure the suffering, endure the persecution, but remain faithful to the end. And you shall receive the crown. This is what we have to do. It's the same thing throughout the Word of God. As we study, we talk about Israel and all that they had gone through. The main point was that they remained faithful. And when they were unfaithful, God punished them. But God told them, when you are faithful, he will bless them. He will give them strength. He will give them the fruit of the land. He would send the rain that the land would be. He continued to aid them in all things. When they were unfaithful, they did not have his blessings. And even when they made sacrifices, until they put that sin behind them, until they admitted their fault and turned to God, they did not accept it. It's the same for us today. If we go to God and we continue in a path of sin, not willing to put it behind us, not willing to strive to repent of it, seeking his forgiveness, seeking his strength to overcome that sin. Expect him to be on our side. But when God is on our side, we can overcome. There's nothing we can't overcome. There's nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And in verse 9, Solomon starts off this part here. And he writes, it says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. There's nothing new under the sun. Understand, I know there's new technology that we have today. It's always updated. It's always coming new. I like to bring out the cloth sermons that I have that have been passed down to me through Casey's grandparents and that preachers used to use. That they, you know, that they hung up a cloth. They didn't have this projector or screen. They wrote it all out, colored it all in. I can remember going to class and they had the old projectors where they write on the thing and they change the sheets on their own. That's not what it's talking about here. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the fact that sin has always been. It's not new. God's commandments and desires for us to be obedient, that's not new. The reward in the end, the reward for those who are righteous, those who keep his commandments, is not new. God will give you eternal life if you are obedient in his name. keeping his commandments. He will give you a home in heaven, that which the Lord went to prepare for you, as we read there in John chapter 14, verse 1 through the 3 or 4. He went and prepared a home for all who is willing to keep his commandments. But also to the extent that the consequences of sin is not changing, it is not new. And if you continue in that path, you will have to face the wrath of God. So we send the Lord's invitation. I have one more verse, James 1, verse 17. We're telling us that nothing, the Lord has not changed, no variation or change or shadow of change. So we want to extend the Lord's invitation this evening to any who desire to obey the gospel, to any who have studied the Word of God and have looked into it and know the truth. Or if you are here this evening, we want to also extend the opportunity if you desire to study it. If you have any questions, for many who have obeyed the gospel and desire the prayers, if there's anything that we can do for you, let it be known. Amen.
Stand or let it be known. Is there anyone here tonight that would like to heal?
That's on the theme number 612. 612.
Sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deep we stand within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me now safe and